What changed in our life is how we react to what happens. Right? And that's usually when my wife will call me a mono. And try to make me laugh instead of fighting back with me. And we can avoid the shipwreck.
Satan causes you to focus on the wrong things. Mm. And in focusing on the wrong thing, he takes your mind off of where the wreck is really coming from. The majority of all shipwrecks are caused by the ship simply running aground on rocks, a coral reef, or a sandbar, or even another wreck. In some cases, the tide would fall so low that the ship would lay over on its side, and then when the tide would come back in, instead of the water floating the boat, it would sink the boat, thus being a shipwreck. And now that you have a basis and an understanding of what a shipwreck is, we're going to start the voyage with Acts 27:1. And this is all in the voice, I believe.
The date was set for us to depart from Rome. And Paul and some other prisoners were transferred to the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a member of the Augustan division.
We see there that the Apostle Paul is not taking the journey alone. You do realize that your journey through life's seas is not meant to be taken alone. Here is something else to think about what the verse states.
The date was set. You need to be aware that Satan has your shipwreck date scheduled, and it's the Holy Spirit who will help you navigate through the treacherous waters to avoid the unforeseen obstacles. Pastor Linda will tell you, if you ask her, that the Holy Spirit guides me on a constant basis to avoid an obstacle or shipwreck.
Just last night.
It was a couple times this week I have called you and said, yes. Watch out for this. For example,
I
will give you an example. Something I never do, but the Holy Spirit told me to do it. Last Monday. And I had picked some guys out to move our seating to the youth center.
Yes.
And I never do this, but I called Pastor Linda up and I said, listen, I need you to do something. I need you to send out reminders.
And she did.
Right? Because the Holy Spirit was already telling me that there was an obstacle, there was a problem. And I never send out reminders for anything. So it's totally away from my character to set out a reminder. So the time comes, and I call one of the guys, and I hung up, but he called me back, and I said, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you. I know you're moving seating right now, so I don't want to call you. I don't want to interrupt you. And he's like, I forgot.
You don't need
and
to
the
quit.
Banana goes to Chris. Okay.
Y'all need to quit.
but that's how the Holy Spirit works. Now, I will tell you another one that happened last night, right?
Last night.
There was going to be an obstacle, and the Holy Spirit told me about it, and I called Linda. And I never call Linda about this stuff. I don't get involved in this stuff. And I said, Linda, check on the cake and ice cream for tonight. I never do that. And all the cake and ice cream parties, I've never gotten involved in it. And
yes.
Something told me, the Holy Spirit guided me and said, go check on it. And she calls one, and the one says, yeah, the other one's got it. And then we call the other, and the other one says, no, the other one's got it. Nobody got it.
We all three did.
So I said, Linda.
It's happening. I got it. It's under control. We got it.
we have to be alert. And the Holy Spirit is guiding us on simple things, and it loves to tell you where the shipwreck is, where the train wreck is, where the derailment's going to be, so that you can avoid that collision, so you could avoid that wreck. We didn't avoid the first one, but at least I knew it was coming. But luckily, the remaining men were just strong enough to make this happen, so it was okay. But that's not the only two times. That's happened 100 times, would you say? 100 times?
And more.
And she says to me all the time, she says, you have an amazing understanding of the Holy Spirit talking to you, avoiding things.
Yes.
Because I always am telling her, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. There was just something recently with you that I don't remember what it was, but I told you it was going to happen, and then it happened.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. I just have to say that the two guys that they still love me after I made them lift 8 benches. I told them, I said, they're light. Bishop picked it up. No problem. Hey, I can move it with you. I got there and I bent down and I'm like, yeah, nope. I'm out. Did I not? I'm out. I'm done. I looked at both of them.
Saw me pick that thing up.
I did, but as they were picking it up, I was going, I love you so much. Thank you so much. I love you so much. I know. Yay for me, right? Okay. In verse 2, we find out that St. Luke was one of the ones that was with Apostle Paul. He was the companion aboard the ship. And actually, in one of the versions, it says, I, Luke. Okay.
I, Luke, was permitted to join Paul for his journey to Rome, along with Aristarchus, a Macedonian brother from Thessalonica. We boarded a ship from... pick easier chapters next time. Adramidium that was stopping in ports along the coast of Asia.
You know, I have to say, you said pick easier versions next time. I have to say, I looked high and low for this version because it specifically said, I, Luke. None of the others say, I, Luke. And Luke is the author of Acts. So when it said, I, he's talking about himself being present with them. And Luke was also the doctor. So God will give you the right friend to walk through the fire with you.
Luke wrote Acts?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there.
God will give you, people think that Paul wrote it. He did not.
I thought Paul wrote it.
No, he did not. Luke did. God will give you the right friend to walk through the fire with you. Here comes the plot twist. We have a prisoner that has been handed over to Julius, a Roman officer. Okay. There is where God intervened. He caused Paul to find favor in the sight of Julius. Now look what happens. But before you change it, Julius is a Roman officer.
Right. Correct.
Paul is a Roman.
Yes.
Okay. God will put you in favor of the people that are your kind. Does that make sense? He will give you someone that will understand where you've come from to help you get to where you need to go. Acts 27, 3 through 4.
We stopped the next day at Sidon, and Julius kindly allowed Paul to visit friends and be taken care of by them. We sailed from there north to Cyprus because the winds were unfavorable. Anytime that you're in a shipwreck, God begins to work immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you fight his work. He's already causing things to conspire to get you out of the tailspin, to get you out of the wreck, to get you out of the isolation. And he might say, go to church, because he's already prepared a message for you. And I've seen this happen thousands of times. But he will tell you to go to church because the message that he's prepared to the speaker, who has no clue what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
I got in so much trouble one time. I mean, I got a guy who was mad at me for life because we had church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. and he asked if I would counsel him on Sunday afternoon. So after church on Sunday afternoon, I went to his house and I counseled him. Okay? Got back in time to have dinner and get back to church. That was it. Pastor took the stage, preached everything from A to Z that he talked to me about in order. And that guy screamed at me. You told the pastor, I didn't even talk to the pastor. I'm like, Pastor don't even know me like that. I don't talk to him on Sundays. I never mentioned a thing to that pastor. God already prepared the message for him to hear, but he didn't have enough sense to understand that the Holy Spirit was working. And so instead of getting out of the shipwreck, he found himself offended and he stayed there. And we stay in our wreck a lot longer than need be. Mm-hmm. Where if he would have just said, this is good. I'm understanding what I'm going through now. Instead of just being angry because I betrayed his confidence. That's mm-hmm. why if anybody of you have ever talked to any of my pastors and tried to tell them something in confidence, they are trained to say to you, I will not have a confidence with the bishop. Anything you tell me, he may hear. Why? Because I'm going to get on the stage and preach it, and you're going to think they said it to me. Happens all the time. You're laughing, but it happens. It happens so many times. Somebody will say, you know, I just counseled them on that, and then you just said the whole thing. Yeah, because that's God working. He's working for you. He's putting people in place to help you. Paul was taken care of by his friends. Mm-hmm. He's put people in place to help you navigate, to take care of you. He's already causing the winds to change. What does that mean? He's causing the atmosphere to change, where you could find favor if you'll stay still long enough and get out from beside yourself.
When it says that he let his friends take care of him, Paul actually got off the boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was unforeseen. He's a prisoner. He's going to Rome to be judged.
If I'd have got off that boat, I'd ran like Marjorie did with that bear.
No, you would not. Anyway, can you imagine what St. Luke must have been thinking? Only my God could pull this off. Once Apostle Paul was taken care of, the ship proceeds with its voyage. This is where we make our biggest mistakes. Look at what the verse states. The winds were unfavorable. Okay, they were already warned it was unfavorable. How often do we walk into an unfavorable circumstance that God did not tell you to get involved in? Should you have paid more attention to the neon sign flashing?
Invitation declined. Poor visibility ahead. Walk away. Valuable words. Walk away. A lot of times we find ourselves in things that we brought ourselves into. I love to say this to people. And what did you expect was going to happen? You will hear those words from me. What did you expect was going to happen?
How's it working?
You walked right into it. Didn't you see it?
How's it working for you?
How's that working for you?
I'm laughing because I haven't been that person that should have just walked away. Oh, my. Okay. These are the reefs, rocks, and sandbars that Satan has set for you to run into. The Holy Spirit is trying to get you to navigate around them, but due to your low visibility and distractions, well, there you have it, shipwrecked again. In verse 6.
Can I just say this real quick? Mm-hmm. Low visibility comes from lack of communication with God.
Yes.
When you're not talking to God about what's going on, you cease to be able to see right.
Yes.
And you get low visibility. God's the one with the lifeline. A lot of times people think it's I have the lifeline, or Pastor Maria or Pastor Linda or Pastor Jim have the lifeline. We don't have the lifeline, but we know who does have the lifeline. Our job is not to throw you the lifeline. Our job is to show you the one who has the lifeline, who can throw it to you. See, that's why you don't see me trying to convict you of your sins. He'll do that. I just have to show you him. That's my job. This is Jesus. This is what he says. This is what he stands for. This is how he wants you to live.
Yes.
Not to tell you how to live. We get in trouble and we run from the lifeline.
In verse 6, Apostle Paul and the others changed ships for a more direct approach to Rome. Yet the weather conditions continue to be unfavorable for their voyage. Remember that Apostle Paul has found favor with a Roman officer, Julius. In Acts 27, 9 through 11.
We had lost a lot of time already. It was late in the year for sailing, following the Day of Atonement, and conditions had deteriorated from adverse to dangerous. Paul tried to warn those in charge. It's amazing how quick things can go from adverse to dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I always use this example in counseling, that if you want to play a game on how close you can get your hand to the burner of the stove, and you put your hand on the stove, but you don't touch the burner, and you get real close, and somebody gets a little closer, and then you do it a little, eventually somebody gets burned.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually somebody's going to touch it because you're playing with it. I tell married couples all the time, you don't talk about divorce, because if you talk about divorce, you're going to end up with a divorce. You're speaking it right into existence. You're putting it right out there, and eventually it's going to happen. Whatever adverse thing that you keep talking about is going to happen because you're creating it. You're creating that atmosphere, the unfavorable winds. And that's how little things turn into big things, from adverse to dangerous. How many have ever been in an argument with a husband or wife or child that went from adverse to dangerous, where one of them walked out, where one of them left?
You know, you used to say, it's not if, it's when. When you start acting, your words hold power, they hold life. Your words hold life. Whatever you breathe, whatever you speak, you give it life. Whether you want to agree to it or not, you give it life. So when you give it life, what do you expect? It's not if, it's when it's going to take place. It is the time to reevaluate your voyage. Who is the Apostle Paul in your life, and what is it trying to warn you against? In your current circumstances, ask yourself these three questions.
Is my being right more important than the casualties that's going to take place if I keep the course I am going? I like to say that your feelings are more important than me being right. And I don't correct you just because I could. If it's going to serve no purpose, if it's the wrong time, if we're in the wrong place, I hate those that think they can correct anybody anywhere at any time, no matter who's listening. I get a lot of people get angry with me because they they think I should have corrected somebody or done something, and then they come and get on me for it. Why didn't you do this? And I'm like, well, how do you know? You don't know what I did. Because let me tell you something. I did it in private. Whatever I did it without you being there because I didn't need your help. Didn't mean I didn't do it. Just means I didn't make a public display for your pleasure. I'm not looking for casualties. People don't understand that. I don't want a casualty. I don't like collateral damage, and I don't like casualties. I'm looking for restoration. And I can't do that if my being right becomes so important that I don't care how I do it. Number two. Have I forgotten that we are all on the same journey, destination, heaven? Our goal is to get to heaven together. Mm-hmm. Right? We're on the same journey, but we're not at the same mile marker.
Take as many as we can.
Right? Some of us walk faster than others. But sometimes you got to turn around and help them get through. Mm-hmm. Number three, at what point did I succumb to feeling that others are less than me? You know, what I faced early on in Christianity was that if somebody went to church three times a week, they thought you should go to church three times a week. If somebody couldn't watch a particular television show, they felt that you shouldn't watch that particular television show. At what point did you become the standard? Remember, whoever you're looking down on, there's also somebody looking down on you. You're not the standard. Right? We come to a place where we realize that God is dealing with those that he needs to deal with when he needs to deal with them. Mm-hmm. He chooses. We're here to show somebody the way, not drag them, kicking and screaming.
Most of the shipwrecks could be avoided by having the technology that we have today. And all the shipwrecks in our spiritual journey could be avoided if we would allow God to be our captain, Jesus to be our co-captain, and the Holy Spirit to be our point of navigation. In verses 12 through 17, they are trying to keep their destination, the course, correct, and the storm is relentless, and it's causing great havoc. What storm in your life is being relentless, and what is its plans to destroy you, and what are your plans to regain control? Acts 27, 18 through 21. Before you say anything, when I say what is your plans to regain control, if you surrender, and I if you surrender to the havoc that Satan has placed in front of you and you give way one smidget, you have lost the fight. He will take control.
The Titanic could have been avoided, that disaster. Okay? There's several things conspired to create the problem. From the people that were on duty, from what they saw when they, from not paying attention, and from the company's desire to set records and speed and going way too fast in that area. There's all kinds of things conspired together to create the disaster.
Yes.
And so when you're being shipwrecked, there's normally different conspiring things causing it to happen. I call it the perfect storm.
Yes.
There was a movie, The Perfect Storm, some time ago, if you ever saw it. And so I look for spiritual perfect storms. And the great example of a spiritual perfect storm was when God set the time for me to take control of this church. perfect storm started happening, and things started conspiring all over the place, and it didn't become one thing. It became a bunch of things converging at the same time to create what God wanted.
Yes.
For example, the church that was here had bought another church, and their denomination would not give them the money to remodel it until they sold this one, so they were stuck with two mortgages and they were in a jam.
Yes.
They didn't have the money to remodel, and the denomination says, we won't give you the money to remodel until you sell one of the buildings because you have two mortgages now that you can't afford.
Yes.
So they were in financial crisis. One of the things conspiring for the perfect storm. The next thing that happened was all the finance companies that finances churches stopped financing churches. AIG, America's largest church financer, shut down the entire church program and wouldn't finance one church. The economy was really bad at that time, and churches were going foreclosed at alarming rates. I saw so many churches that were foreclosed on that it was incredible. The economy went bad. The people couldn't give. Churches couldn't meet their obligations. And so it was just another conspiring windstorm of the situation, because there were a lot of people that wanted this church, but they couldn't get the financing to get the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember meeting with the realtors, and they didn't even want to show me churches. They said, because you're not going to get the financing. He said, you know, you got to be a church for so many years, and you got to have so many people, and you got to have so much money, and you got to have to show that you brought this money in. You have to have bank records saying you brought it, you know, on and on and on for years. I mean, they would look at me, and I would just look at them, and I said, uh-huh. They didn't know there was another perfect storm over here. the Democratic presidency came in. Obama ran silver up from $4 an ounce to $49 an ounce. God told me he was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
God said, buy silver and hold it to the middle of the Democratic presidency. I'm on record of saying this. I didn't make this up after the fact. I said this when there was a Republican in the office. God said, buy all the silver and gold that I can and hold it to the middle of the Democratic presidency. 2 years in Obama's administration goes by, nothing's happening, and I'm looking at God and saying, God, why did you tell me to do that for if nothing was going to happen? God didn't even answer that. I'm sure he's like, you moron. I said, the middle of the presidency. Oh, God already knew he was being reelected. He mm-hmm. knew the middle was 4 years. So, gold runs up from $300 an ounce to $1,900. Silver runs up from $4 to $49. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting on some serious bank. And I don't need to show one record. I don't need to do nothing but write a check. Perfect storm. All these things are going on to create the perfect storm. So the perfect storm can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. It's the same thing that happens, you get in a fight with your wife. Your dog bites you. You lose your job. Next thing, you have the perfect storm that sends you over the edge. When somebody commits suicide, it's not one thing.
No.
It's multiple things conspiring at one time to send them over the edge. And some people walk away from God after they're shipwrecked.
Yep.
Am I reading this?
Yep.
All through the night, the storm pounded as violently. The next day, the crew threw the ship's cargo overboard. And the day after that, they discarded any of the ship's equipment they could do without. Things are in trouble now. And they're starting to discard anything that's not needed to lighten the ship. What do you discard when you're shipwrecked? Sometimes you got to discard somebody.
All that baggage you're toting.
You've got to throw that extra weight overboard if it's bringing you down. They passed without relief from the furious winds, without a single break in the clouds to see suns or stars, even for a moment. Despair set in as if all hope of rescue had been cast overboard as well. Ever get into something and you couldn't see how you're going to get out of it and you don't think you can get out of it? And all hope leaves? On top of all of this, the crew had been unable to eat anything because of the turmoil. Paul saw the crew had reached a critical moment. He gathered them, men. If you had listened to my warning, that's my favorite. If you had listened to the warnings of the speakers that take this stage. Not just me. I don't care if it's me, Linda, Donna, Mark. Doesn't matter. They're shouting out an SOS. They're shouting out a warning. That if you had listened to it, sometimes Linda will tell you I get furious with counseling because I'll get somebody who just doesn't listen anyway. And they want to come back again. Why? If you listen, I'll counsel you forever and a day. Could care less, but you don't listen. You don't listen to a single thing I say, but you keep coming back. Y'all think that's funny. Okay. Guys, if you had listened to my warning, we'd still be safe in Crete and would have avoided this damage and loss. We could avoid the majority of our shipwrecks. If you would heed the warning that God has given you through his messengers and through his word. He doesn't want to see you shipwrecked.
One time he had a counseling that he gave him homework, and the gentleman brought in a whole page and a half, and the lady brought in a blank page. He liked to lost his mind. Wow. He was like, give it 2 weeks before you schedule them again. Needless to say, when she came back, she had her paper. They were worn out, and all they wanted was refuge from the storm. All they desired was peace and to be free from the fierce winds and waves and the capsized seas and the destruction of the vessel they were on.
And here's the understanding for you. God will take you to your knees if you're off course.
Yes.
I was so off course. God's telling me to pastor his church, and you think Jonah ran? Jonah was egging me on.
You're so not
Jonah's
right.
Up in heaven looking down saying, boy, I wish I could have ran that fast. I could have got away. God brought me to my knees. Don't think he won't. He'll bring you to your knees if you're off course. He's not worried about how your knees feel. He's worried about your destiny. He's not worried about your comfort. He's worried about your character.
Yep. Has Satan and his tactics got you to a place where you're ready to throw away your hope of ever being rescued? Apostle Paul was not willing to give up so easily. Acts 27, 22 through 23.
I was correct in my warning, so I urge you to believe me now. None of you will die. We're going to lose the ship, but we're not going to lose one life. So keep up your courage, men. The God I belong to, the God I worship, sent a heavenly messenger to me this night. I have word from God that we're all going to survive. I love walking into the hospital room when I've had a word from God. Those are incredible days for me. When God tells me what's going to happen, and then I watch it happen. I don't like walking in when I don't have a word from God. And sometimes I don't like the word that I get. Mm-hmm. Dealing with a couple, I got sent into a prayer room. There were about 10 people praying for this lady and this man whose baby was, the baby was already dead. And they're speaking life, and they're doing everything you're trained to do. You're going to live. This baby will live and surely not die, and God's going to rescue this. And they, I mean, they're going, and they're filling with hope, and all that's great, and that's what we're supposed to do, but only after you've heard from God. Mm-hmm. See, you can't skip that step. Before I said anything, before I stopped anybody, before I did anything, I said, God, is the baby going to live? And God said, the baby's alive. He's here with me. Mm. This is the exact words. He's here with me. And I knew that baby was dead. And you know what else I knew? I knew that couple would never step foot in a church again in their life.
Shipwrecked.
I knew they were shipwrecked. Mm-hmm. I knew that these well-meaning, God-fearing, God-believing Christians got out of order. Trying to do the right thing, trying to do the good thing, believing, having faith, without checking with God. The Holy Spirit is the messenger for us these days. Mm-hmm. And I like to check with God first before I do anything.
Here we see the Apostle Paul trying to change the focus from doomsday to joy comes in the morning. Bishop and I were talking the other day about the little things. It's makes the biggest impressions on people. And it's the grants. You're granted, I don't know how to say it without, God grants you that ability to be able to make that small thing that someone else would discard that could have shipwrecked the person into something that's grandiose for them. How do you say that? Just... We were talking about a particular person and how it was the small things that he did that the rest of us, and I say the rest of us, myself included, discarded as a nuisance. Yes? We don't want to do that. We don't have time to do that. You know what I'm talking about now? Where you would go and spend time, you would get in the vehicle, you would ride away, and we wanted to get done at the youth center.
Oh, yeah. I remember, yes.
We could have shipwrecked her.
Yes. And people didn't understand what I was doing.
Yeah.
And they would say things to me, you know, why are you doing that? And they didn't understand.
And we were very quick at making judgment calls, but didn't understand. It was the tactic of the enemy to get us off course, to get confusion going around while he was seeing the bigger picture, yes?
Yeah, here's the revelation. God will take, or the devil will take others off course to get you off course.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's why I don't always listen. I got to go. We got to go. Welcome home. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for church. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, yes, lead, direct, Jesus, and guide us, God, that we would be on course where you want us to be, not shipwrecked, not desolate, not isolated, not alone. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this church and in the lives of us. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.